The following message was given by Brother Frank Hong and Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 8th, 2018. The title of the message is Appreciating Christ as the Reality of the Trespass Offering. Scripture reading is John chapter 1, verse 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4.
Thank you for your word. Open your word to us. Adjust us. Encourage us. Lord, we love you, and we love your word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the word of God. Today, we're coming to the second message on the trespass offering as revealed in the book of Leviticus. Praise the Lord for the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. It shows us all the offerings that God has prepared for us to come to Him and to live with Him. And last week, we had mainly a message on taking Christ as a as the trespass offering for God's purpose. The matter of Christ being the trespass offering is a matter of Christ dying for our sins. Amen. You know, we, as human beings created by God, but we have fallen into sin. And so sin is a big problem between us and God. But praise the Lord, Christ is our trespass offering. Amen. He has solved this problem between God and us. This week, we're coming to another message. The title of this week's message is Appreciating Christ as the Reality of the Trespass Offering. Appreciating Christ as the reality of the trespass offering. You know, it's one thing to take something, and as most of us here as Christians, we realize that we need Christ for our sins. And in our daily contact with the Lord, and many times we do sin, and we often will pray, Lord, thank you for your blood. Thank you, you died for my sins. So to know Christ and to take Christ as our trespass offering, this is necessary. And this is very important in our experience. But how much appreciation we have concerning Christ as our trespass offering, this week I was convicted that I need more appreciation. Not only I need to take Christ, but I need to appreciate Christ. You know, you may take something. I was thinking of taking a food, breakfast. I need to have breakfast every day, but I may not appreciate my breakfast every day. So I know Christ who has died for my sins. And this week, through many verses in the New Testament concerning Christ dying for our sins, through all these verses, we need our appreciation increased or raised concerning this matter. And so this week, I'd just like to start with sharing with you what's my appreciation that I've gained through these verses on Christ dying for our sins. And I hope many saints, you're free to share also your portion of your appreciation. Appreciation is something that's very subjective. So we all need some appreciation. Whether little, whether more, the more you share about your appreciation, the more that would help you to appreciate. There are many verses that we went through this week, and I was reminded of this verse in John 16, 8. And I would like to use this verse to go through some of the verses that I enjoyed this week. Maybe we can read this verse together. Amen. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. This verse was spoken by the Lord before he was going to die on the cross for us, and he said that he will send another comforter. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. There are many verses that I enjoy this week, but they're kind of scattered as I was considering how to share my enjoyment with you. And this verse, the Lord kind of gave me this verse to see that concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment, we can enjoy and or appreciate Christ as our trespass offering. Concerning sin is the matter of believing into the facts that he has accomplished. And concerning righteousness, it's a matter of knowing what the Lord has attained and accomplished for us. And concerning judgment is the goal of why he died for our sins. There are a lot of things concerning the world and Satan that we need to escape from. So I'll just come to this first verse, John 1:29. So the verses that I will be covering might be a little out of sequence as the verses that we read. But that's first, John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world."
Amen.
We have a Lamb of God.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, many of the offerings, especially the trespass offering, are offered as lambs, or lambs are offered as trespass offering. But those offerings can only cover sins temporarily. So they have to be offered again and again, almost daily. They need to be offered. But Christ, as the Lamb of God, he died for us once for all, and he took away the sin of the world. Here, the sin includes both the singular sin and the plural sins. So concerning our sinful nature and our sinful deeds, Christ has come and dealt with this problem once for all. So today, there's no barrier. There's no more problem between man and God. If we take Christ as our sin offering and as our trespass offering, there's no more problem. There's no barrier. We have to believe this. If you still today have a problem of sins, and we do, right? Honestly, we do have problem of sins in our experience. But before God, this problem has been solved once for all. Christ, as the Lamb of God, has died for our sins. He solved this problem. And then the next verse that I enjoy is 1 Corinthians 15:3. "For I deliver to you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." This is, again, very basic. He died for our sins. His death was not a death of a martyr. He did not die for some cause or something that he did, but he died for our sins. This little word, "for," indicates that he died in our place. His death was a vicarious death. His death was a substitutionary death. We should have died for our sins, but he died for our sins. Hallelujah. I think I take this for granted many times. The Lord died for my sins. Oh, he died for my sins. Praise the Lord. And the next verse that I like to come to is 1 John 2:2. "He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." Because we're sinners, fallen away from God's purpose, we need to be redeemed. But this verse says, "He himself is the propitiation for our sins." What is a propitiation? A propitiation is something that's offered to appease, for a treaty. You know, if two parties are fighting and they're enemies, and in order to stop fighting, something has to be offered as a propitiation. So before God, not only we are sinners needing to be redeemed, but we are even enemies. In Ephesians chapter 2, we were enemies we were dead in our sins, and we were enemies in our mind against God. So Christ, as the reality of the trespass offering, he is the propitiation for our sins. When we enjoy him and when we take him, we can come to God and we are made up with God. We are no longer enemy with God. He has accomplished peace. He became the propitiation for our sins. So these are facts that are accomplished by the Lord being the trespass offerings. Now, 1 Peter 3:18, that's the next verse. This verse says that for Christ also has suffered once for sins, the righteous on behalf of the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. On the one hand, being put to death in the flesh, but on the other, made alive in the spirit. This verse goes on a little bit more to show us that not only Christ died for our sins, but he is the righteous one, dying on behalf of the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. This phrase touches me tremendously this week, that he might bring us to God. This is part of his accomplishment as the reality of the trespass offering. We were away from God. We were far from God. But he has brought us back to God. Hallelujah. By experiencing him as the reality of the trespass offering, we are brought back to God. Amen. Where are you, saints, today? Are you away from God? Are you far from God? The Lord has brought you back to God. Amen. And we need to come back to him moment by moment by taking Christ as the trespass offering. Another accomplishment that he did is in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore up our sins in his body on the tree, in order that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose bruise you were healed. He has brought us back to God. And now we can live to righteousness. Now, live to righteousness, often we are not right with God. Right. Neither are we right with men. Righteousness means that we are right with God and we're right with one another. But checking with my experience, especially in the way I speak, in the way I talk to my loved ones and to my coworkers and brothers and sisters, many times we're just not right. Right? Oh, Lord. Maybe we're not saying something bad or defiling or defaming or profane, but many of our speakings are just not right or inaccurate. This week, the Lord especially touched me about the matter of exaggeration. Many times I caught myself telling my wife, "You've always done things like this." You know, anytime you hear this word, always, or never, or, you know, these words they're absolute, kind of. You have to be careful. Does she always do this? I don't think so. Did I never do something? No. But many times in our speaking, it just shows how inaccurate we are. We are not right with God. And we're not right with one another in the way of speaking. So we need a trespass offering. We need Christ. This week, as I was exercising, the Lord bothers me many times. Sometimes with speaking, sometimes with email, right? You receive an email. Sometimes you want to just respond right away, or text. Email actually is slower. Text is faster. Often you get a text, and you want to respond right away, but the Lord often just say, slow down a little bit, consider, and just contact me. Oh, Lord, Lord, how should I respond to this word? And sometimes some words that you receive stirred up something within you that you want to give your 2 cents. You want to say what you want to say, or you want to give the last word. But we need Christ. We need Christ as the offering to slow us down, to kill all the germs of unrighteousness within us. So Christ has brought us to God, and we can live to righteousness. And the next verse that I enjoy is Matthew 26:28. By dying for us, he shed his blood, and this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. We are under a new covenant. Yeah. This is a major accomplishment by the Lord, dying for our sins. Not only he died for our sins, but through the shedding of his blood, he enacted a new covenant. We are under a new covenant. Amen. And this morning, when we're in the Lord's table, we're in reviewing and celebrating this new covenant that the Lord has accomplished for us. All that God wants to do and all that God desires to do is now guaranteed in this new covenant to be applied to us. So this is a big accomplishment by the Lord, dying for our sins. Today, as we're drinking this cup every week, when we come to the Lord's table, when we take this cup, we need to remember Lord, you died for my sins. You have gained this cup of blessing for me. I'm weak. I'm full of sins. I'm full of shortcomings. But thank you, I can come to you. I can take this cup, and I can take you as my trespass offering, and you will fulfill everything that you has not only promised. You know, the Bible is we have the Bible called the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Testament means something that's already bequeathed to you. It's not just a book of promise that I will do this for you, but because of his shed blood, a new covenant has been enacted. And this is a testament bestowed to us. And he's today in us as the Spirit, as the executor of this new covenant. So next time when you feel like weak, you can just tell the Lord, Lord, you've bequeathed that to me. You've bequeathed strength and power. And in faith, I apply that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't believe in your feelings, but believe in what the Lord has promised and is currently executing in your experience. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is concerning righteousness that the Lord has accomplished through his death on the cross and what he has accomplished by us. Now, there are some verses this week that I did not consider them as related to Christ dying for my sins, but I was very happy to find these verses because these verses not only tell us that Christ died for my sins in the past, but there's something that he is doing today to save us from a negative situation. First is 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that it was not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers. The next verse, which we didn't include, says that we're not redeemed as with the blood of gold and calf, but we're redeemed with the precious blood. The blood of Christ. So we are redeemed not only from our sins, but in 1 Peter 1:18 says that we are redeemed from our vain manner of life. What is the vain manner of life? Well, this week I was touched that any manner of life without God is a vain manner of life. You might be quite successful in your work. You might have a very good family life. Or you may be happy in your current living situation. But any manner of life without God is a vain manner of life. So Christ's redemption, his dying for our sins, also redeem us from a vain manner of life. But my sense is this is something that's continuous. He not only redeemed us from our vain manner of life, but today he's still redeeming us from our vain manner of life. And it is through realizing that he has purchased us back with his precious blood. You know, often you think it's okay, you're going on with your life, but without God, right? But when you realize how much the Lord has shed his precious blood for you, how much he has loved you to bring you back to his purpose, often he will remind you, you need to come back. Don't stay in that vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers. So we need to live a life full of meaning. We need to live a life in God's purpose, saved from our vain manner of life. And then in Titus 2:14, we may not have given this verse to the brother. Let me just read this verse. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify to himself a particular people as his unique possession, zealous of good works. Another aspect of Christ dying for our sins is that he redeemed us from all lawlessness. Again, this is worse than the vain manner of life. A lot of things that we do may be lawless without any kind of restraint. The Lord's death also redeemed us from all lawlessness and to purify ourselves, a particular people. So we need to be this kind of people that will match him, that will live with him, that we will be a people for his expression. Then the next verse is Galatians 1:14. Actually, this is kind of my top enjoyment this week. Let's read this verse together. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us out of the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. This verse speaks of the goal or the purpose of why Christ died for our sins, right? It says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us out of the present evil age. That he might rescue us out of the present evil age. And this word rescue means pluck out or extricate, meaning that you were captured. You were captured in a situation and you need to be rescued out. And the picture that I think of is often, you know, you're fighting and you end up in behind enemy territory, right? And they're torturing you. They're trying to convince you that you're on the wrong side, but you can't get out. But you need someone to go in and rescue you, right? So Christ gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us out of the present evil age. Amen. The present evil age. Now, this age or this world is a system designed by God to occupy us, to keep us away from living in God's purpose, to keep us from living a life that's meaningful, that cooperates with God to accomplish his purpose. And many times we're unaware of the things that occupies us, and we're were being captured. Lord Jesus, amen. The world is designed to occupy us. So this week, normally when I think about the sin offering or trespass offering, I say, I'm okay, I don't sin. Or at least I'm not aware of any major sins that I've committed. But am I occupied by the world? This week, I have to confess many times I am. I may not do a lot of the worldly things that I think other worldly people do, but how are my time being spent? Or what am I being occupied with? Now, of course, we can read the Bible and pray every day, every minute of the day. But where's our heart, or where's our time being occupied in? The Lord died for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Yesterday I came to this blending training that we have with many of the saints who has gone through a 12-week Bible reading training. And in 12 weeks, more than 60 saints, they read through the New Testament. And many of these are new ones. Now, I was there enjoying the saints' testimony and their sharing. I was really convicted. These saints read through the New Testament in 12 weeks. When's the last time I read through the New Testament? You know, more than a few years. What have I been doing? Lord Jesus, you know, we're just too much in a life of ease. We're happy in our routine, or maybe we have a certain kind of church life that we think we're worshiping God, we're okay with God, but how much is our time being occupied? How much are we being involved in this present evil age? We need to be rescued. I need someone to rescue me from this this life of blah, you know? Do you feel like this week, I really feel my life is it's a blah. I'm doing a lot of things that I do habitually, and they're good habits, but where's my heart? Oh, Lord, I need to come to the Word. I need to get into it. So at the end of yesterday, I signed up for this training, Bible reading training. I want to get into the Word. I want to read through the Bible in 12 weeks, New Testament. And one of the sisters, their reading is not just casual reading. They study, you know, with some help of a question. And she was sharing how she was considering the two type of walks in Galatians chapter 5. The walk that's a regular daily walk, and another walk that's more in step. You know, and later on, I went to ask the sister, how long have you been saved? She said, a little less than a year. I was really convicted. This such, you know, she... From her sharing, you can see the Word is so rich, the Word is so meaningful, and she really enjoyed the Word. And as she was enjoying the Word, she can't help but, you know, share what she enjoyed. And I say, Lord, I want that. Lord, rescue me.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I need you. That's the reality of the trespass offering. Lord, save me from this present evil age.
Amen.
Save me from all the things that occupy my time. You know, I have no problem with going to the malls. The malls is not that attractive. But the coupons, the things, you know, every once in a while I get an email, you have $70 free cash. that you have to spend by a certain date. And, $70 free cash. If I can just, and it's not free. It's if you buy like $20, you get $15 off something, right? But you know, once in a while I got tricked. So I go online and I browse through. Oh, I really don't need anything. But you know, maybe I need this. I need this. And then an hour has passed, right? Your time is being occupied. In that hour, I was not living in God's purpose. I was not pursuing the Lord. I was not being made an overcomer. Lord Jesus, I need to be rescued. Amen. So may this word really encourage us that we need to know, we need to believe in the fact that we are saved from our sins. And we need to come to the Lord because he has opened a way. He has opened a new and living way for us to come to him. And we need to escape the world that's the lust of the flesh that's in the world. We need to escape, saints. We need to come out and we need to be rescued. Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. Lord, I still need to be saved. Not only I need to be saved from my past sins, I need to be saved from my vain manner of life. And I need to be saved from this present evil age. Lord Jesus, amen. Amen.
Brother Frank is mentioning for the Bible reading, and I think all of us needed to get back to the Word. Not only on a regular way, but really in a life growth way and experiencing the Word. And we are praying that we're going to do the same thing for the English-speaking saints in Hall 1. I want to see a show of hands, how many of you are willing to join such a practice in 12 weeks. What is the structure is to go through 3 to 4 chapters a day and read 1 to 2 designated footnotes per chapter, and answer one question. And most of the questions has no answers. Okay? It's just try to hook you to the verses. Okay? So answer one question per chapter, and then memorize one verse every day. And also read in a group. 3 to 5 saints a group. Because the goal is after this exercise, we can form small group meetings by 1 to 2 small groups. And then by every Lord's Day afternoon, we spend 2 hours prophesying, 3 minutes each, the enjoyment you have. And we have a 10-itemized constructive criticism. How, even including your body language, including your, your habitual, sometimes, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So you need to eliminate all of those. And then, of course, your exercise, your spirit, the accuracy of your speaking and the quotes of the ministry and so on. So actually, you have to sign a paper, and you cannot get mad. You can cry, but you cannot get mad with us. So, saints, this is a challenge. So, it's a lot of work, but you can see the results. And I'm sure many of you sitting here, I'm not sure how much Bible you really read. Yeah. And I spent the past less than 2 months in order to help the Chinese-speaking saints to learn English. I recorded the whole New Testament for the past 2 months. And I just squeezed time out. And on Friday night, I finished the Revelation. So that was wonderful. It's a learning for me. I'm not sure how much the Chinese-speaking saints will learn English, but I did. So I have to read it, record it, and then through the editing, we had to go through it. And after editing, I needed to listen to proofread it one more time. And once posted on WeChat, I need to listen to one or two more times. So you can imagine, for the first few books until X now, I have to play and read, record, and proofread and listen again at least five times. It's a tremendous help for me. Brothers and sisters, how many of you, if you do it here, you're willing to join, to give your last ounce of effort to do that? Would you please show your hands so we can know what's the desire to do it? Amen. Israel, let's take a look. Not many. We have one group now. We started from 84 saints in hall 3 and hall 8. And then by the end, it's more than 60-something. Almost the completion rate is about 72%. The first week is very enjoyable. Second week is very dreading. Third week, you always want to give up. The fourth week, the enjoyment. And that's just like an FTTA in any training, right? I was in the middleweight training for service for 12 years. I know the rules. I know the psychological cycles. But if you sense, I'm doing a commercial now, okay? I encourage you to do it. If there's one group, we started from one group, okay? If 10, we started with 10. Brothers, we have another fellowship on the timing, but we're probably going to do it just to encourage the saints, get into the words. Okay. So for today's message, our brothers had a good beginning. And of course, I know the word trespass in English. The first time I really experienced the meaning of this word was when I came to this country. I was in Wild West, as an Oregonian. I was driving around. I got in my first car, just drive around. And I went to this farm, or some wilderness. And there's a sign that says, no trespassing. Okay, I know what's no trespassing. Below that it says, violators will be shot. I know what's being shot. And the survivors will be shot again. Oh, that's serious. That's the first time I really know the ramification of violating no trespassing. Violators will be shot. Survivors will not be rescued. They will be shot again. And some other signs will say, we are tired of hiding the bodies. No, that's even worse. Of course. Oh my God. What does that mean? Which means they shot many. In this Leviticus, the first few chapters, we are seeing burnt offering. We're seeing meal offering. Of course, the sequence here is a sin offering, trespass offering, and a peace offering. And for burn offering, we need to see the root. The root of sin was the not absolutely for God, deviating from God himself. That's where Satan was sinned. And Jeremiah, I believe, Jeremiah, forgive me if I quoted it wrong. God said, you sinned. I believe that was in Jeremiah, chapter 28. God said, you sinned. Satan sinned. I don't know what kind of bad things he did, but at least his aim was away from God, or his aim was trying to replace or compete or take the throne from God. So that's why the burnt offering, we use the verse Leviticus 1:4. Here it says, in order the burnt offering serve as a expiation for him. Because everything related with the sin was from the, what's the negative word for absoluteness? What prefix you put in to make it a opposite to absoluteness? In absoluteness. Is that right? Or absolute? Anyway, it's just not absolute for God. Trespass, knowing or not knowing, intentional or not intentional, it is because also away from the awareness of being absolute to God. Of course, it's related with our nature. The sin is related with the nature. Sins are related with the conduct and the action of that nature, but also with intention or no intentions. Of course, this word, when we say the sin is hamartia. Now here, we're talking about a trespass. It's using a different word. This word is basically stepping aside or surpassing lawlessly stepping over something you're not supposed to. There are a lot of strange words for me these days. Okay? Studying Leviticus is a very good learning process for me. And here we also use two more words. One common word we like to use is atonement, and atonement. Because this word many times says, even in New Testament, when some saints are praying, Lord, thank you for covering my sin. Thank you for your blood covering my sin. Actually, that's a praying in atonement way. Because the atonement has two key meanings. One is to cover. Just like human beings, hey, let's brush this thing under the carpet. Let's cover, okay? So when the piano is not in use, let's cover it. So when people walk in, we say, what's that white thing? You say, oh, under it is a piano. So it's not that the piano is gone, but it was covered. In the Old Testament, the atonement, the covering, is not because of the sin was gone, but it's just temporarily covered. So this is the first meaning of atonement. So since I want to apply here is, when we pray, I know many of us habitually praying, Lord, thank you for your blood covering my sins. Yeah. Because in many teachings, they feel like, oh, your sin has been covered many layers, as if the sin was no longer there. Now that's the Old Testament thought. So hope you, in the future when you pray, you realize your sin and your sins has been gone, has been purified, has been cleansed, has been scrubbed up clean. It's all gone. Saints, if possible, change that way you pray. The second meaning of atonement is somebody else did something for what your offense, your sin is. For example, here, for the whole Leviticus, we're using animal, we're using animal as a sacrifices in place as a peace to God, to satisfy to a certain degree of God, to not look what happened. So, but still, for the priestly service, you have to do it day by day, day in, day out. And also standing there, and trembling, because otherwise you could be killed too. And the survivors will be killed again. Since for here, the atonement, again, is not removing the sin. still some animals, sacrificial animals, are in replace of you. This cannot be done in a thorough, complete, absolute, totally remove the sins. Of course, we are not talking about plucking, removing the root of sin, you're no longer sinful, and your nature is totally purified. No, our experience is not that so yet. But in God, through that one, through this one God-man, Jesus, this man, he offered himself once for all as the propitiation, the expiation for all our sins. And now today, we're talking about the reality and experience of this trust offering. Because if you see this whole message, we quoted 8 to 9 verses of the New Testament. There's not a single verse from Leviticus, because you realize the whole book of Leviticus is a type. Those are figures. Or in a sense, you can see some degree, some portions of Leviticus are functioning as allegorically to the New Testament. So today, we're really seeing the reality of Leviticus applied, realized in the New Testament. So saints, today the real atonement was accomplished by our Lord. That accomplishment is not a covering so you don't see. It's not in replace temporarily. No, it is a permanently, eternally dealt with the sin and the source of sin. And the guy who introduced the sin into human beings, Satan, and also the system crafted by this guy, Satan, to ensnare God's children. All of this through this one, offered himself once for all, dealt with all of this, even including our oldness, our old man, our nature, and so on. Now today, we come boldly before the propitiation cover, Christ Jesus. We come before him to receive grace, to receive mercy, and to get timely help. Since today, we have been cleansed. We have been purified. We have been washed, thoroughly cleansed, no spot, no blemish in the sight of God. Today, actually, this verse is all pointing to that. Even today, this morning, when we have this table, our Matthew 26, it said, the Lord said, this is my blood, which poured out, which has been poured out. If you see the verse 26. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins. Saints, today we know from time to time we sin again. From time to time, we deviate. We don't know how, either intentionally sometimes or unintentionally, just did something, said something, even thought about something, hesitantly said something. Come back to the Lord. Amen. He has cleansed every sin. Amen. Not only what you have done, but those you have not committed it yet. Oh, what a deal. This is the deal our Lord has set in his covenant. Now today, when we experience and appreciate what he has done for us, saints, this is not something really we can always talk about. And the first thing I got up at 5:30 this morning to prepare this message is repentance. Lord, I have nothing really I can speak of. You are all this reality. Without you, I'm not even worthy walking on the earth. This morning, I spent more than an hour nailed down repenting. So, Lord, this message is not for the saints. It's for me. Lord, I praise you. Praise you, the Lamb of God, who takes away my sin. Not only the world, but took away my sin. Brothers and sisters, your sin has been taken away. This taken away is almost like a servant, chopped off, lifted up, taken away. Saints, we have someone you can easily turn to. Don't let those thoughts, those entanglements drag us down. Turn to him, the Lamb of God. Behold, he is the Lamb of God. He is the reality of the sin offering, is the reality of a trust offering. All my wretched human nature, he is the meal offering. Praise you, Lord. How wretched I am. But you are the meal offering. You are the perfect one. And you have died for me. Now you live in me. I need to take you as my meal offering. Lord, I am such a, from time to time, so rough, but you are so fine. I'm so hastily, you are so patient. Lord, help me. Not help me to improve. I need you. Lord, I need you to be my meal offering. Lord, I'm not going to say anything. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Even in my thoughts, sometimes even in my dreams, I'm sinful. Lord, thank you. You are my sin offering. Thank you, Lord. I need to take you as my reality. I need to experience you more. But I know you have done it all. For me and for all. Saints, really for all these verses today from John 1:29, we are going down, you can see even until Hebrew 10:12, it's everything is related with our experience. And Hebrew 1:3, that word purification, purified the sin. If you see Hebrew 1:3, let's read it again. Having made, that's just the second half. Having made the purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He has purified my sins. Saying, so this is real and is reality. I want to drill this point into you. The atonement has been done once for all. And the purification has been done once for all. And he has offered himself up once for all. Today, forget who you are. Forget what person you are. Forget what your background is or are. Forget what kind of things you have committed before. Come, turn to this one, the reality of all the offerings. Not only trespass, everything, we need to turn to him. This one, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has done it all for all of us. Saints, maybe a few words, a few more words, I will stop. that's too much. I think I will stop here. Saints, there is one now sitting on the throne. There is one sitting in the heavenly courtroom. There is always a lawsuit going on in that courtroom. The enemy, he doesn't sleep 24/7 with a magnifying glass, with a microscope, with a telescope, always watching you, always watching me, and bring the case always before the throne, accusing us, bring us to the heavenly court. That guy, what a God does, he always pointing him and pointing to the Lamb of God. Hey, your accusation is all being borne by him. I know my children are still doing these things, thinking these things, but my beloved, my only begotten, he has borne all of them. If you want to continue to accuse them, see the blood. See what's on the cross. He has died. And see the resurrected Son of God. Saints, in that courtroom, don't get accused. But you got to repent to God. Be very careful. Otherwise, your repentance, a lot of times, can be taken advantage by the enemy. If you read the book of the ministry book called The Experience of Life, the certain portions was talking about this. You have to be very careful. Don't get taken advantage of by the enemy. Because in that heavenly courtroom, the Lamb and God are sitting on the throne. He has accomplished all the purification of sins. He bore all. He resurrected, and he was justified, and all the righteousness is in him. He is, and in us, and on us. Saints, Satan today, the easiest thing is use trespass offering, trespass to accuse us, pointing him to the blood of the Lamb is ever effective, is eternally effective and efficacious. That is so efficacious, it cures all. As soon as you take it, as soon as you turn to him, pointing to all the accusations to the blood of the Lamb, to the cross, to the one crucified on the tree. Saints, that's our Lord. And I'll stop here. Saints, turn to the Lord. He is the one. He is the reality of all the trespass offering. And he has died. He has died, and we won't be shot. And he resurrected, and we resurrected with him, so we don't be shot again. Praise the Lord! We're dead with him, and we resurrected with him. Now, we need to really join him in death and in living. Praise the Lord.